Sunday morning, Sunday night, he's scheduled to be at a local church. And then from there, we'll see. But I know that Brother Harris, about a year ago, 2 years even, the Lord really burdened on his heart to study prayer. So I asked him to bring a challenge on prayer before he goes back to the field. And so I asked him to bring that tonight. So Brother Harris, you come share what God tells you.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of James, if you will, with me. I'm honestly not sure where the Lord would have me to go tonight, but I know He wants me to start in James. So we'll start in James, and then we'll see where God wants us to go. I didn't get my hand up quick enough to add to our prayer request, but there's a man in the town of Echihoa by the name of, he's a pastor, Alvaro. Pastor has met him. He's very sick. Pray for him with this coronavirus. He's on, they've taken him to the hospital and on a ventilator. So pray for Alvaro. And then Don Vandal's family, Charlotte, she has a port that she has to have, lifelong port, and that got blocked, and so they're down in Tucson today having her port changed, and so pray for Charlotte Randall, if you would, as well. All right, well, I appreciate your prayers for me, my family. It was not our intention to be here as long as we have been here, but God knows, and I thank God for the opportunity. I've enjoyed every day, and first of all, with the opportunity to move my parents to Kansas, Brother Fountain says they're doing good, so that's good. Actually, I got a call from my mom today. I missed. I guess I was out of reception, and so I got to call her back. I forgot about it. Brother Fountain says your parents trying to call you. I said, oh yeah, I remember. I remember. I got a message, so I got to call them back after church. But they're doing fine, and I thank the Lord for that. And then of course, Ezra and Hannah have moved on to Idaho, and we had a housing venture together. We had one that we still had together. We've had several through the years that we're trying to move, and so I had to stay behind and try to get that ready to move, and that's kind of been part and parcel of our income, and so we've been doing that. And we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and I pray it's not a train coming our way. But anyway, you know, it's coming, and Lord willing, be able to be done by the end of middle of this week, I guess. All right, James chapter number 5, if you will, with me. And I appreciate your prayers for the work in Mexico. You know, it's Brother Martin who fills in for me. Told me before I left, he says, Pastor, he says, I was going to be gone 2 Sundays, all right? So I don't know how many Sundays I've been gone, but I've been gone more than 2 Sundays. And I was going to talk to Brother Martin and say, Brother Martin, it's possible I may need to be gone a couple more Sundays than that. And before I talked to Brother Martin came and said, Pastor, I just want you to know, if you need to be gone longer than the 2 Sundays, don't worry about it. We're fine. We're doing good. We'll be fine. And take all the time you need. I don't know if you realize just what that meant. Except he called me last night and said we had good services, Pastor. He sends me pictures of the services, and he says, take your time. No rush to come back. And amen. Okay, Brother Martin. And so I thank the Lord for that. Amen. I appreciate Brother Martin stepping up and taking care of things, and but he did send me his bank number today, so I don't know what that means. No, I ask him for it so we could pay the church's bills and stuff like that. Anyway, so I appreciate your prayers for the work of the ministry, and that God will continue to send us a pastor, and in the meantime, a people, and open doors for a place for their own in due time. And then, of course, the current war going on with the the mafia sees no end in sight, and one good thing about that is we're not worried about the coronavirus down in Magdalena. That's the least of our problems right now, and I don't know what the world's worried about, but a lot more people dying with bullets down there. But pray for us as we are going to be heading back in. No problem, willing, not a worry at all. Just walking with the Lord. But pray for us. All right, also, what happened to New Zealand? Well, you tell me. I ask you to pray about it. So I hope you're still praying about that. The other day I woke up about, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and went out to the living room, sat down for a little bit, just spent some time in prayer, and God had just overwhelmed my heart again on New Zealand. And but in this way, that it's up to Him. And that's where I've been for many years now. It's up to Him. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, the land that floweth with milk and honey, is Numbers 14, verse 8. And that verse God gave me years ago concerning that. And as much as, so let's see, the other day, who was I talking to? I don't remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to Brother Price. That's who I was talking to. And he mentioned Brother Mike Lehman, who, of course, we've known forever. And so they're in Thailand. And so I was looking up on my phone, Thailand, and it just kind of slipped down to New Zealand. You know, no matter where I'm at in the world, it always kind of seems to go down New Zealand. And every time I look at New Zealand on my world map, God just really, there's this yearning, this unction in my heart. And I just say, Lord, that's up to You. And it is. And so I'm just saying, I appreciate Your prayers for us. How are we going to get there? I have no idea. Do I know anybody? No. Does anybody know me? I don't think so. But that's exactly how God receives honor and glory. And if it's up to the Lord and God opens the door, then we all know it's God. And if not, I'm busy anyway. And, you know, I can't really hear about other places in the world and dismiss them as well. You know, how many of you know of anybody in France, for example? The whole country of France, I can't tell you an independent Baptist missionary in the whole country of France. I know some board missionaries, I know some fellowship missionaries, but I don't know of any independent Baptist, local church Baptist missionary in France. Amazing. So there's all kinds of places you can go in the world and not have to, you know, worry about tripping over somebody else. All right? And every one of them, I'm willing to go. Tasmania, there's nobody there. There's two works in Tasmania, but in proportion to the people and the populace, what are they amongst so many? And so you can just you can go anywhere in Australia almost and find that. And so how's God working all that? I don't know. That's not my job. I'm just a servant, and He's got me in a field right now. The field is the world, but He's got me in a portion of the field. Until He replaces me, I really don't have to worry about it. And, you know, in all reality, I guess if He replaced me, I'd start worrying about it, you know. Why is not the door opened? So in the meantime, but just for you as a church to know, as my church to know, it really would be my utmost desire to be able to go back to New Zealand and work for the Lord in New Zealand. So I know my in-laws don't want to hear that. They keep telling me about all the availabilities around here. And my children, I appreciate that. And I love Southern Ohio. It's just, it does me good to be here. And but that's all right, I'll serve the Lord. James chapter number 5. So just wanted to update you on praying in that area. So in James chapter 5, and I guess we'll stay here in James chapter 5 instead of jumping from here, but look at verse 13. The Bible says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Now the word pray or prayer is going to mention, or prayed, is going to be mentioned 7 times in the next few verses. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that that ye may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I want to take this passage of Scripture that mentions prayer 7 times, and I want to take those 7 mentions of prayer and just kind of context here, just look at what the Bible's teaching us about prayer. All right, there's 7 separate or 7 specific things that we can learn from prayer in this one passage that really is not dealing with prayer. It's just kind of James here is just concluding the epistle, the book, and he just kind of mentions prayer, as Paul does many times when he concludes his epistles. He says, "And brethren, pray for us." It's the last thing that, hopefully we understand when we say, "Well, we'll be praying for you." I talked to Brother Elam yesterday via WhatsApp, and I just shared some time with him, and appreciate him, appreciate getting to know him, and challenge the church to be in prayer for him. But kind of terminate everything by, "Brother, I'm praying for you." I hope we mean that. I want to just give you several points on prayer that James has here in conclusion. Verse number 13, we find the word prayer or pray mentioned the first time. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." So I don't know what the name of this title of this message is. I'll figure it out maybe, and I'll let you know. But we're going to have 7 points on prayer, all right, that are right here in our scripture that teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Well, here it is. Here's part of that answer. Some of this is going to be, most of this, probably all of these, are review, and that's good, all right? You learn through repetition, all right? And it's good to see that it's not just in one place, and it's not just of one man's private interpretation, because the Bible says that there's no scripture of private interpretation. And I appreciate pastors preaching and teaching on prayer, and I have not listened to all of the messages that he has preached on prayer, but it is my objective to do so on sermon audio. I'm going to go back and listen to those and take notes. Amen. I want to learn from whoever I can, as long as they are teaching from this book. I looked up some things today on some other, I don't remember what it was. I wanted to look up, see if I could find a concise, I remember now, so I'm going to tell you, concise way of expressing what's the difference between the Bible's words of prayer, intercession, and supplication. Because the Bible says, "Let intercessions be made for all men, praying without ceasing." And the Bible says that the word intercession. And man, it's easy on the internet to find a bunch of malarkey, it's not what I was looking for. I was just looking for, give me a verse that helps define this in a nutshell. And, you know, you find, I don't know, one guy had four expressions of prayer and the other guy had seven expressions of prayer, and it's just like, forget it, you know. Take time later on and let the Bible define it. But appreciate learning from anybody that's got the basis as this book. Ann and I were talking on the way back from work the other day about a whole different other subject, but I was telling her, be careful and don't believe anybody just because they are your pastor, unless he's based on the Bible. Don't believe your dad, and don't go and say, well, my dad says, dad, I said this several years ago, maybe you'll remember this, but pastor asked me one time on a certain thing, he said, Brother Harris, how do you see that? And I told him this, maybe you remember, I said, well, my last name is Harris, and so if you ask me how I see something, wouldn't that be heresy? And so, no, let's find out what the Bible says, amen? And then make it your own. And then I was telling Anna to be careful, and I said one of the greatest ways I don't have a whole lot of opportunity to devote to reading just everything that people recommend to me. I read, to the best of my ability, books that people give me, unless they're just so far out there that I can't, and I tell people, I'm sorry, but no. But you know, when I choose my own books, if a man doesn't have enough sense to believe that the Bible is the infallible and inerrant inspired word of God, and he's using some ESB or some NIV or something like that, you know, I really don't have time to read his book, because he's already not on the proper foundation, you know. So he may have some truth in it, but I don't want to, you know, there may be a good sandwich in the garbage can, but I'm not going to go looking for it, you know. I can go find a better place to go look for a good sandwich, you know. And so, you know, I look at books the same way, and if they can't even realize the basis of the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God, then you know, I really have no need to go with the rest of it. So all of that to say, this is the word of God. And we need to just make sure the basis is the word of God. So taking the word of God in this context as our basis, here we go. Again, there's going to be some repetition. That's good. That helps you remember. So seven times the word prayer is used in some form. Verse 13, first time. Make prayer personal. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If prayer is not personal, then you ain't praying. All right? Don't depend on the prayers of others. I thank God for the prayers of others. I thank God for the prayers of this church. But prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And I depend on those prayers on a daily basis where I live. For boldness, for protection, for whatever it may be. But you know, if you're praying for me, but I'm not praying myself, I didn't even hit first base. Let him pray. So number one, make prayer personal. Number two, the second time we find the word prayer or pray is verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Now, pastor preached on this last Thursday night, I believe it was. Several weeks ago, he preached on this personal prayer aspect. And then last Thursday night, he preached on this. So again, just repetition here. But we find partnership prayer. Let them pray. And there is a great promise as Pastor showed us in the Word of God, that where two or three are gathered, in the context is the local church. And I have men that I have covenanted together with to pray, friends, but none so great as the prayers that I have covenanted together to pray with for Pastor Burke and Brother Salee and those who are of this local church. Because the pure context of the Word of God, when it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them, the context is the local church. And so I pray for Pastor Randall every day, and I have specific things that Pastor Randall has asked me to pray for. And I pray for my mom and dad every day, and that's family. And I have specific things that I pray for them and things that my dad has asked me to pray for every day, and I pray for them every day on those things. But there's nothing so secure, there's nothing so strong, there's nothing so scriptural as partnership prayer in the local church. And that's why I mentioned New Zealand. The gates of hell cannot keep me out of New Zealand if the church prays, of course, if it's God's will, in my name. You know, the coronavirus can't keep me out of New Zealand. I don't know anybody. I'm not looking for anybody, and I don't, you know, my wife asked me several months, maybe a year ago, says, so are you going to eventually start contacting people? No, it's not my job. It's not my job. Trying to contact people, swindle away in, if you will, or look for a loophole to get in, that's not my God. My God's bigger than that. And if God wants me in New Zealand and this church is willing to pray in a partnership praying, I got news for Jacinda Ardern, who's the current Prime Minister of New Zealand. She's not keeping me out. Not that she even knows who I am, but she wouldn't keep me out. In their laws, partnership praying. So we find personal praying, we find partnership praying. And then down in verse number 15, we find the third time the word prayer is mentioned in the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I ask our people, I said, which is harder for God, to heal or to forgive sins? To heal or to save? Which one's harder for God? Well, for God, nothing is impossible, but which one's harder in man's eyes? And most people will say, well, healing. Wrong. Only God can forgive sins. You know, there's sometimes you can be healed by taking a doctor's medicine. There's sometimes you can be healed by surgery. There's sometimes you can be healed by changing your lifestyle and things like that. But only God can forgive sins. That's an impossibility with man. But we find here in verse 15, it says the prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith, if I can alliterate it in this way, so we have personal praying, we have partnership praying, and then number three, of course, the Bible always tells us that we are to pray in my name, Jesus' name, according to my will. So I'm going to alliterate that tonight in this prayer of faith, to make it perceptive praying. And again, I touched on this last time I preached, or this time since I've been home since I preached, and that is that on knowing the will of God. I preached on knowing the will of God and how we can know the will of God. Why is it important? Well, because if we want to pray in faith, we need to know the will of God. And when we know the will of God, we know that the answer is yes, God said so. Amen. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It doesn't say I might do it. It says at least the petition's been given and I'll decide. No, it says I will do it. But we need to know, we need to have a perception of that's exactly what God wants. Now, and I shared, and that's the other message, and I shared on how we can know that, but
Let me give you three quick points on perceptive praying. Number one, we need to realize that it's a spiritual matter. Perceptive praying is a spiritual matter. The natural man comprehendeth not the things of the Spirit, because they are spiritually discerned. And how could he? Romans chapter 8, and let me read this, verse number 26 and 27. The Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, God searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, capital S, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Perceptive praying is the matter of praying in faith, is a spiritual matter. And if we walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I've said this, and I don't know how many times I've said it here or where I've said it, but the reality is this, that I believe there's a lot of physical things. There's a lot of monetary things, maybe a lot of physical blessings that God wants to give us in our life if we have the spiritual insight to pray. And you have great history. You have the Word of God to give us great examples of the Josephs in lives, and the Solomon and David. They were blessed beyond measure physically, spiritually. God did that. And you have the different blessings in life that we can look at in more modern history, and people that are truly blessed of God, not those that have not those that have excused it on God and called it a blessing, but in their own reality, you look at their life and you can, well, you know, maybe. And of course, all things come from God, but but a lot of times we blame God for things that's not His to be blamed for. You know, let me give you an illustration. So the Jehovah's Witnesses are really strong in Magdalena. Well, I don't want to embarrass you, so don't raise your hand. But hopefully you know the answer to this. How many of you believe the Jehovah's Witnesses have the truth? They don't even have anything near the truth. They deny the deity of Christ. They're a liar. And I know who the father of lies are. So I know who their father is. But let me ask you, why in the world are the Jehovah's Witness the largest growing sect in the world? Now, they would tell you because it's the blessing of God. Are they right? Because if they're right, we're wrong. And why don't we, if that's the blessing of God, why aren't we growing? Why is the Baptist faith, and I'm talking about the biblical faith of Baptist, it's a struggle. Well, honestly, the Bible says that things will wax worse and worse in the last days, and so we would think we're living in the last days. And barring an awakening from God, I would say we are. And so we can look at that and say, you know, but they'll go to you and they'll say, well, listen, this is the proof that God's blessing our life, because look at our growth. And what do you have to say about that? Where's your growth at? We have the blessing of God, you don't. Well, God has promised that if you work at something, you'll succeed. It's not the blessing of God on their doctrine. It's the blessing of God on their devotion, not to God, but to trying to earn their salvation. They believe in four ways to earn your salvation. If you want to know some more errors of the Jehovah's Witness, that's not the study. But I'm saying this, that They'll look at that and they'll say, well, we have the blessing of God. No, they don't have the blessing of God. What they do is they have the blessing. You know, listen, the best farmer you know that walks the most godly life can go out here and sow his farm in corn. His neighbor, who could be the most ungodly man that you know, has the field next door and he can sow his corn. Which one's going to grow? They're both going to grow. Because it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And God said, sow your breads upon many waters, and many days it'll return unto you. And it's not proving that that farmer is better than the other farmer. It's just proving that God's true. And so here they are doing the job that we ought to be doing. That's called Saturday at 10:30 in the morning. Amen. And you know, God's blessing for their faithfulness, or not their faithfulness, but their faithfulness to a work ethic or whatever you want to call it, not blessing his word, because they don't even have it. But anyway, so perceptive prayer, prayer of faith, is a spiritual matter. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And again, these are verses that I've read to you before. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says here, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, and the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, again, number three, make your praying perceptive praying. Search the Scriptures through the Spirit to find out what is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Find out what God wants you to pray for, and then stick to it and pray for it. And you say, well, Pastor, how long should I pray for something I know is the will of God? Well, what's the answer? Yes. So how long should you pray for something that's the will of God? Yes. Till you get the answer. Because you already know what the answer is. The answer is yes. If you found out the will of God, the answer is yes. And so how long do I pray for it? Well, do you know it's the will of God? I'm absolutely positive. Well, how do you know it's the will of God? Well, I just got this feeling. Nope, that don't work. But we do have the facts. Find the facts of the Word of God, and you know what the will of God is, and just keep praying, because the answer is yes. Well, it hadn't come. That's fine. The answer is yes. Just keep praying. Well, how long do I pray? Until the answer comes, because the answer is yes. So there's perceptive praying, and that's a spiritual matter, and then it's a specific matter. And Pastor preached, I haven't listened to the message yet, but Pastor preached on making prayer a specific matter. And making it a specific matter is, number one, because God said so. That's why. Well, why should I pray specifically? Because God said so. Why should I pray specifically? Because if you don't pray specifically, how in the world will you know that God answered your prayer? But most importantly, God said so. And if you don't pray specifically, man, that thing could blow through and you'd never know that it was that God answered your prayer. It was a happenstance or a circumstance, or it befalls all people some way. But when God puts something on your heart, then you pray for it and you pray specifically and until it comes. And then, but the greatest reason for that is because that gives God honor. You can point to something in your life that strengthens you when you realize that God answered that prayer, and you can pray. And when you prayed specifically because you know the will of God in a matter, George Mueller, who, you know, is renowned for his learning on prayer, and when he was 80-some years old, just a couple years before he died, he had two names on his prayer list that he had prayed for since God taught him to pray, had begun to teach him to pray. For 60-some years, he had prayed for these two names. And a man came to him and said, well, how much longer are you going to continue praying for those people? He says, until one of two things, until they're saved, or until I'm dead. And he says, well, why haven't you ever quit praying for them? He says, because I don't believe God would have led me to pray for them, the will of God. led me to pray specifically for them if God didn't mean to save them. And both of those men were still not saved when George Mueller died, but both of them had a powerful testimony of salvation not long after George Mueller died. Just keep praying. Know the will of God and keep praying. It's a specific matter. And then if I can add number three under this perceptive praying, make your prayer perceptive. It's a spiritual matter. Be led by the Spirit. It's a specific matter. God will lead you in those areas. And then number three, it's a sovereign matter. Prayer is not about what you can do. You can't do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. But it's a providential and a sovereign matter. I couldn't even begin to think about how I'm going to get myself into New Zealand. Back in the day, before I was 55, there was possibilities, but you know, after you're 55, it's almost impossible. You're now too old. And you know, God may lead other missionaries to be English teachers. Of course, that's what they speak in New Zealand, so that'd be kind of hard. But you know, I even thought, hey, maybe they want Spanish teachers. I'm fluent in Spanish. I can go there and teach Spanish. But again, I'm not trying to get myself in New Zealand. And why should I try to get myself in New Zealand if God wants to get me there? Right. It's up to God. Amen. Now, if God wants to use that, then fine. If God wants to use another thing, then that's fine. But it's up to God. Why do I think I have to pick this up and do it when it's God's job? Because if I pick up anything in Isaiah 42, Bible says that God doesn't share. He's a jealous God, and he doesn't share his glory with any other. And here I am trying to take some of God's glory by figuring this out myself. Well, just let go and let God. Amen. In a prayer of faith, forsaking all, I trust him. I don't have a clue how that's going to work, but hey, God said it. I found it in his word. He keeps putting it on my heart. He won't let it go. Then I'm just going to let God do something. Number four, verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Make your prayer petitioning prayer. This is intercession. Pray one for another. So we have personal praying and we have partnership praying, perceptive praying, but to make prayer biblical in our life, we need to have petitioning praying. Pray one for another. The Bible says that we are to love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. Pastor's Instagram thing this today was about the fact of that as Christians we're supposed to love one another. Now, I'm not a people person. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry to wake you up. I'd be in a cabin in the woods, and you'd have to ride a horse to come find me or have a good four-wheel drive. But there's this indwelling that just won't let me escape society. It's called the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to tell everybody off many times, but I just can't. Because how can the love of Christ dwell in you? Now, I have to admit and confess my faults one to another, that too many times the flesh takes over and I do tell. I don't tell them off as much in face anymore, but I do in my heart. So, you know, which one's worse? Hidden sin. Shame on me. I ought to love them for Christ's sake. Because they're dying, going to hell. But there's petitioning prayer. If we can't pray for our brother, if we, who we do know, we can't love our brother,
There's no greater love. Hath no man than he would lay down his own life. Are you willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to sacrifice my time, my life, to pray for others? Or is some YouTube video or some personal time just too dear for me to not be involved in petitioning prayer? To not be brokenhearted about the need of my brother. Number five, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. There's petitioning prayer that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think I said this the last time I talked to my younger brother, or the time before. He's been, wow. He's come as close as you can, close as you possibly can, to deny God. Curse God. And I really don't know how to pray for him. And I have, boy, sought the Lord, how do you want me to pray for him? Because there's a point of no return. I don't think he's crossed it, because he's not dead yet. So you keep praying. I was traveling when I was with took my mom and dad to Kansas, and we had been working that day, and I was in the car with my sister, was driving. My brother was in the back seat, my older brother, and I was in the front seat. My phone rang, and it was my little brother. So I showed my siblings my phone, who was calling me. And I answered, and I said, hey, Philip. And I said, hey, I'm traveling with, I'm riding a car with Esther and Joel. Is it all right if I put on a speakerphone? Yeah, that'll be fine. And so I knew that changed the conversation a little bit. He was calling me personally, now it's not going to be personal. That's all right, I'll call him back later. We talked for a while, and actually, they talked. I just held the phone. But as we were hanging up, I said, Philip, I know you don't want to hear it. I didn't tell him that. But I'm praying for you. Unbeknownst to me, he's turned a little bit. And his response to me was, Stephen, I appreciate your prayers. I hope they're effectual. And I said, Philip, if my prayers aren't effectual, it's not your problem. It's mine. Well, that's rubber meeting the road right there. When your brother, who's that close to entering eternity and denying God, mentions something about your effectual praying. Number five, the Bible wants us to make our prayers productive. The Bible says effectual, fervent praying. The English uses two words. To try to define this one idea. And if you looked up and tried to figure out where this word comes from, you would see a word that resembles the word energy. That's what the word is. Energetic. To be operative, to be at work, to be active. That's what that word, effectual, fervent, those two words, that's what it means. God wants our prayers to be productive. We're not to be lazy. We're not to hold back. Biblical praying will be productive. Number six. Verse 17, the sixth time it's mentioned. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. The word passions there means desires. The word passions there means affections. The word passions there means failures. He wasn't anybody special. But boy, did he ever do something. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Number six or seven or whatever number I'm on. Number six. Prayer is to be passionate. He prayed earnestly. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Nah. That's not passionate praying. God wants our praying to be passionate, to put your heart into it. The accomplishment of Elijah was because he prayed earnestly. Earnestly, man, you know, a whole message needs to be preached on that one point. Earnestly. What it means to pray earnestly. But just think of earnestness in life. How bad do you want it? How much is it taking over your life? I heard a definition one time, I'm sure I've used it, of a fanatic. A fanatic is someone who can't change his mind. He won't change the subject. And that's how we ought to be. This prayer thing has just taken over. And you can't change my mind because it's based on the Word of God. So you can't change it. And then I won't change the subject. That's earnest. Prayer is to be earnest. Number seven, the last time it's mentioned, and we find in verse 18, he prayed again. Number seven, biblical praying will be persistent. That little verse skips the fact that there's been 3 years. And that little verse skips the fact that he had to go seven times to the mountain and say, "Is there a cloud?" And the servant said, "Well, I see the cloud the size of a man's fist." And he says, "Make a run for it. The storms are coming." But he prayed again. He find the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went and he prayed. He came back and he saw the disciples, and the Bible says he went again. And then the Bible says he went the third time. Brother Martin asked me one time, he says, "Pastor," he says, "so are we supposed to pray the same? Should we have a list and should we continue to pray the list?" Well, do what God wants you to do. Everything, follow God. But wouldn't that be repetition? I said, yes, that's repetition. But your heart will tell you whether it's vain repetition or not. It's not the repetition. It's the vanity. Because Jesus went and prayed twice
three times. Look it up. These same words. That's called repetition. But there was no vanity in that. And you can have a prayer sheet if God gives you the liberty to have one and write out all these things and try to do your best to be effectually, fervently praying and day after day after day after day after year after year after year. But he prayed again. How many times have you already prayed? Doesn't matter. The matter is that you prayed again. That there wasn't a time where you stopped. Why would you give up? Well, you would give up if you didn't know it was the will of God. But how can you give up if you know it's the will of God? Well, you know, as a kid, they taught us, I can tell you, I can show you exactly the place where I sat in Kagabandoro, Africa, in a, it was like a, I don't know, a vacation Bible school or something for the missionary kids, it was just missionary kids, when I heard for the first time, I believe these answers on the way. I believe the Lord has heard me pray. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord hath heard me pray. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him, if that we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if he hear us, we have the petition that we desire of him. 7 points of biblical praying, terminating with this, that men ought always to pray and not faint. And he prayed again. Thank you, Lord.